Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to episode 65 of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, we have another good one for you this week. I was delighted to be joined in studio by the wonderful actor and musician Ryan Lincoln. You will know Ryan most commonly, probably, from the movie Cardboard Gangsters. Most recently, also main role in a great movie called Kissing Candice. And more recently, Broken Law, which was on Netflix. And that's actually the most recent of movies that I've watched of his, and it was absolutely amazing. So got Ryan in to talk all about acting, music, Ballymun, up the Mun. He speaks so well about his hometown of Ballymun, so I had to get him in to talk about his life, his journey, and how he got into music, into acting, and what's next for him. So I hope you enjoy episode 65 of the First Exchange podcast with the wonderful Ryan Lincoln. Boom! We're here. Ryan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. I've been actually dying to meet you since I saw Cardboard Gangsters.
Jesus, it's mad it's coming on a few years now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I actually say to John all the time, John Connors as well, you're, what would you say? I was going to say teammate there, your movie mate. But I say to him all the time, I remember watching that as well, and I was like, I want to be his friend.
Me and John.
Like, both of you. And here we are. It's how the universe works. I summoned you into my podcast studio.
Done a seance one weekend, did you? But no, same as well. I was kind of seeing yourself around the social medias as you do.
Yeah.
And just like you're talking a bit there, like you've been kind of coming up in the fight game, I guess.
Yeah.
And making a name for yourself. And that's what I've been following, the kind of, you know, the people you've been chatting on the journey there. Yeah. So when you gave me a shout, I was going, how did these two worlds cross?
Yeah. Well, it was actually John was in here a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, who have you got for me? I was like, I know you know cool people. And he was like, Tiernan Williams, obviously, from Clusterfox.
Yes,
and then he mentioned yourself. And I was like, shit, yes, Ryan, I actually do want to get him in. So he twigged me, but you were on the list. You're on the list for sure.
Shit, the God, John, bro. Yeah. You're getting it. He's doing me justice. Good man.
But and I've interviewed a couple like Ballymun fighters over the years. You're from the Mun yourself. Good fighting stock out that way, I tell you.
You've met a couple, have you?
Met a couple.
A lot of testosterone, yeah.
In and outside of the ring, met a couple. So it's been a good buzz for me as well. Obviously, we were talking the last year has been like rough for everyone, you know, course, in terms of what's going on and changing things up and all that.
Nothing at all. What do you mean?
Yeah. There's been something going on, mate.
Grand, grand. Yeah. So,
but what year was Cardboard Gangster actually?
So I think it came out in like 2017, late 2017. But as the lads would tell you, like John was trying to get that film made since since he was living that life. Yeah. He's been trying to get it made a long time, like, and it's been in development stages for years, and then I think in 2016 around then is when he was like, you know, done what he had to do and got the green light, and then through that like I was kind of, you know, was lucky enough to meet the lads and be at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm.
Do you put it down to that right place, right time?
A little bit of both, you know. I think you have to have at least a little something, like, you know, I don't think you have to have some degree of like a passion for it, I think, to start with, but definitely then there is a degree of just fucking, you know, it's like, yeah, look, I do think luck plays a little bit into it, like, you know, we could have met anyone else or whatever your life brings you, but we happened to meet John and the lads and stuff like that, and you know, yeah, just took the opportunities when they came. You know?
How long were you acting at that point?
First thing, like
that the Carbo Gangsters was
Tell a lie, actually, there was one thing. Again, John gave us a shout for. If you ever happened to get to the dark, dark corners of the internet, so called the legend of Harry and Ambrose. Anyway, yeah, so we've done a roll in that first. done that roll first, and that was like, it was I just showed up, you know, I was there, but through that, I think then at least the lads are like, are you serious enough to give it, give this one a go, you know?
So what did John say to you when he was essentially recruiting you for Cardboard Gangsters?
He said, you want you fucking in it, man. Yeah. You need you in it. Nah, I had to earn the stripes a bit, I think. It kind of came through the Axis Centre in Ballymun, Axis Art Centre. So we were doing this creative space, it was called, and it was basically like, shout out to the Lethal Dialect as well. It's an associate of ours in the hip-hop scene. The lads are just doing, like, you know, trying to get in all the youngsters, get them off the streets, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, so we were in doing a bit of everything. It was like a four-week programme, something like that. So we tried a bit of drama, a bit of music, a bit of, you know, gave it all a go, a bit of DJing. And, just doing the drama workshops, John came in. And I think he might have been on a little scouting mission, as you said there. Like, and he just asked a couple of lads to try for it, like, and you know, it was just, yeah, man, fucking, you know, yeah, give me that, and I'll try it. And
a serious vote of confidence for you, though, because now that we know more about John since that, and like what he's done, and like just this incredible mind and vision
grafter,
absolute, and he, you know, from what I do know of him, he knows what he wants when he wants it. You know what I mean? So he always has that vision. So for him to see you and go, yeah, you're it, it's a vote of confidence, I imagine.
Absolutely, like, and it's like them things, like, when you're in it, I guess, you try not to think of that too much, but when you step back, you're kind of like, oh, right, it's like, because, you know what I mean? Like, respect for John is out the roof, like you said, the amount of stuff he does, and does for his own community, does for working class, so, you know what I mean? You don't really think of it. I'm just like, yeah, really great, get the film and throw it in. But now that you say that, it is. It's like, yeah, you should definitely, I guess, take the pat on the back, you know, sometimes and be like, you know, fucking, if he could see something in it, then it's not just, you know, it's like, you know, don't just say that to anyone for any reason. So it's like believing in yourself as well at a certain point has been like, all right, these lads are kind of, you know, like you said, gave you the vote of confidence for a reason, so try on it, you know.
And it's kind of an Irish thing, isn't it? We've a bit of a hard time being able to sort of I did really well there, didn't I? Like, you know, to a degree with people with me, like, fair play to you, you've done this, you've done that, and I'm like, ah, yeah, but like, fuck it, like, I'm gonna do that.
Tomorrow's
do you know what
day.
I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, but and it's a really it's a grafters kind of mentality,
you know, where you're like,
you didn't do nothing, like, get out there and keep going.
It's just walk, like, it's like, well, exactly, it's like, I have to walk, so. Like, I'm gonna do it. Just saying that with yourself, how did you get into, like, because I remember seeing just the odd, like, you know, yourself, one or two little interviews, and then I was like, oh shit, interviewing Conlon and all, weren't you?
I was in music, I used to do music in my 20s, and had a bit of a like nervous breakdown when I turned 30.
Your 20s?
Yeah, I'm 36.
Damn. All
right. I go to bed at 10 o'clock.
I
drink loads of water. I don't drink, you know what I mean?
It was like 4 a.m. yesterday. Take a leaf out of your book. Sorry, come on, man.
And I had a bit of a, make a long story very short, a bit of a nervous breakdown. Left music, left a relationship, was like, who am I? What am I after in this life? Like, I need, like, to be saved in some sort
needed
of, like,
the boot up the hole, needed, for want of a better term.
Absolutely, I didn't know where I was turning, very lost, and found jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
Started jiu-jitsu, started training, really? And it changed my life.
BJJ,
yes,
yeah, I'm
Brazilian,
like, is there a distinction? Like,
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, gi jiu-jitsu, so there's no gi, which is the grappling, like wrestling almost, and then there's gi jiu-jitsu, which is in the kimono, and it's all about the, like, the,
you can use the collar and the
collar grips, the collar chokes, and all
that.
That
weird tie out.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
So was that in? Was that the? Sorry, you got into the one with the gi and stuff, is it? Like, yeah.
Started competing. Stopped drinking. Stopped taking drugs. whole life, like, literally went from, I've never in a street fight in my life.
Yeah, never.
I'm really blessed. Like, course, there's been a couple of things where, like, probably I could have, but I'm like, but I've done a runner.
It's probably the smart thing to do. You know, it's not people get it in that, it's like, avoid them if you can. Yeah, never had that.
Been
a good girl, is it?
A little bit of a good girl.
Fair enough.
So started fighting, and then I was like, man, I'm good at this. I probably should have been out fighting back in the day.
Should have fucking said, bring it on. Like,
And then literally just through that, like, through jiu-jitsu, training jiu-jitsu and competing, I was like, there's a world that nobody knows about. There is an underworld on the fight scene it's and deep. Stuff. And I was like, from that then, got offered a few positions, like working for MMA promotions, a promotion called Bama, that we used to do the Tree Arena.
Doing what, just promoting the things, kind of a little bit of a run around, basically, Lydia, do this, Lydia, get the posters, Lydia, bring that fighter to his hotel, Lydia, do this.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll do anything. I just want to be involved.
Absolutely.
And I used to, the moment for me where I was like, I have to do something is, I was backstage at one of the shows, and like, in the, have you ever been in the Tree Arena?
Yeah.
You know the backstage? Have you ever been backstage?
Oh, in the green room? Yeah, I can't say that I have, about the Wiley Fox Grand South, and all, as far as I got, and the green rooms, the academy.
Like, the changing rooms, where it goes down.
No, I've just been in the stands, you know? Bopping, intoxicated. But go on, tell me
but
what
basically,
it's like.
There's like corridors, right? And there's all dressing rooms, right? And all the fighters are in the dressing rooms, and like, you'll have, you know, two or three fighters from either the same gym or non-rival gyms in the same room, and they'd be mats down and this, that, and the other thing. And I just had this moment of like looking in the hallway, and there was all this. One room had like a fighter celebrating. One room had a fighter getting like stitched up, doctors in there. Another room had like a fighter, I'm retiring, that's it, I'm not. There was all this energy and all this like life and like pain, and there was just so much emotion.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are the cameras? Who is documenting this?
Capturing it, like,
and then you look at like, you know, a post-fight interview, but all the stuff that's out there, and it's some dude, and he's like, so talk about the technique. So how was your fight camp?
Do you
and
like
I was
fighting?
Like, this, it, talk about the emotion. About your dead dad who, like, this this right, win,
man,
was for.
Fucking,
do you know what I mean?
Hats off to that, man. Yeah, why the fuck did you get out of bed and do it? Like, really,
Yeah. So that's how it started.
Savage. So it came from a good place.
And that's still where it is. It's the love of, you know, love fighting, obviously. But it is the what it takes to get up in the morning and put your body through that, put your mind through that. Utmost respect. Do you do a bit yourself?
Do you know what? It's like one of them things, like, so growing up, done a bit of boxing. Again, everyone in fucking Ballymun and think done a stint in boxing. Shout out to Pappins, you know. And that's it, like, it was one of them things, I was always told, you're good at it, and but it's like, man, it's like, you know, at the age, you want to do everything at once as well, so we fucking tried everything, man, like, you know, done my stint in Ballymun, kick him sort of a bit as well, the gab, not very good at it, wasn't very good at football either, so it was definitely more the hand-eye coordination kind of guy, and you know, just that kind of went off. Got into the years of, like, you know, the nagging started coming out then, and you know, yourself
got us all at one stage.
It was all like, you know, the park was like Wonderland for a few years. None of that just fucking, you know, really, like, you know, just fell to the background. But I always try to hit a bag when I have the chance, then try to stay fit. Like I was saying, I was gonna cycle, didn't happen, but you know,
blame
the weather. That's literally tiny bit of rain, can't. But that's it anyway, like, so that, like, you know, I always had a love for it, I always respect it. A lot of my mates are into it, like, you know, and like, I've been really getting into it the last few years, making the names. Shout out some of the lads, Dennis Frimpong.
You don't know Dennis.
Yeah.
I train with Dennis every bloody day.
Pre-MMA days, like.
So
I might get back up with the lads. Collie as well. John Collie Matton.
That's my coach.
Collie ain't. Collie was my coach.
Collie trains my Thai. You are joking
me. Yeah. Collie used to get us out going paintballing and he'd go on a mad one and just like run into a hail of paintballs.
Sounds about right.
Like, you know.
I'm glad to hear he's channeled it into being like one of the best Muay Thai coaches in the country.
I heard him doing it a few years ago. I was like, Brad, that's for you, man. So he went to Thailand and he done all that. Collie, you know, Collie fucking years before the fight and... Who else? John Farrell's getting up on that, I heard.
Who's John Farrell now?
So he's down through the music. Red Eye, kind of... He'd be down in SBG with...
Charlestown.
Yeah, Roddy.
Must check him out.
And then Adam Mohammed as well, another buddy of mine making his name. So it's all around me. It's around me. But again, you don't want to be like, oh yeah, I'll do it now that everyone's so, you know. Like, but I do have a love for it, so I do think I'm going to get myself back into it. If anything, just for the mentality, I think I'm past competing and anything like that. But
you never know until you give it a bash.
How old are you? 26.
You're
26.
A baby.
Yeah, you think Come I feel
on.
Like it's all over.
You haven't even hit your prime yet. What are you talking about, mate?
So, yeah, maybe it's not too late. You can go in and let the lads make a show of me a few times and, you know, get humbled again.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to do that now and all this kind of, you know, coming out of this lockdown. So, like you said, you're looking for that something to kind of take you to the next kind of, you know, state of mind. And
so, go back to that when we're talking about, like, you're trying your little bit of sport and you're dipping your toe in a few things. Like, when did the creative aspects flow in? Like, is creativity in your family? How do you feel like it festered?
So it's always stop spinning this chair, will it? But it's always...
I don't mind, but Shane might kill you.
Shane's like, sound engineer, sorry, bro. It's like, you do music, you should know this. Like, keep you on your toes. But that started to come around, just around, I guess, the same time as the naggins and the fucking the drinks and the fucking the intoxications, you know? It's just the life of the artist. But... before that, it's always just been there, like, you know, and again, full of shout-outs today. We're going to shout out Lunatic, Daniel McDonald's, one of the pioneers in Irish hip-hop, like, so I grew up, Dan wasn't a rapper to me, like, he was just, you know what I mean, he's my brother's mate, like, I was actually met up with my older brother yesterday, and they were real close, and he was just laughing, he was just talking about Dan and all, and he was just like, I remember when he done the junior search, you know, junior night, and everyone was fucking going out, and like, oh, let's hit the park, you get lit or whatever. So me and Dan just stayed in and watched every fucking Van Damme film he could find, like, you know. And then
hit it
the next day, like, so it's just, I've always been into that kind of stuff, man, and, you know, I've always been around people that have just, I guess, you know, like, just, I've always been around people that have meant to have been doing what they've meant to do, I think, you know, and that's rubbed off on me, so... You know, again, maybe it's the right place, right time, you know. I was obviously born in Ghana, moved here when I was like
Oh, you're born in Ghana?
So, I'm like, imagine I ended up anywhere, of all the places you could end up, like, ended up in Ballymun and met the people I met to lead here, so,
No way. It was both your parents moved over?
No, so mixed race, like, so my ma's Ghanaian, my dad ended up in Ghana doing all this, he was working, you know, done his jaunt around the world, I think, and you know, they got a bit of that love, I guess, bit of that African love and the heat, man. A few years later, there you go, but that's it, and that's why I always say it's gas, because I always find it's like a minority wherever the fuck it goes. You know, it's like, you're white in Africa, you're black over here, and that's just it, you know?
It's funny, actually, I have a couple of friends who've spoke in similar terms of that as well, you know, it's very interesting, you know?
I think it makes for the better, to be honest.
You should definitely give the fighting a bit of a run. What do you think? It would be Ghanaian blood?
Ghanaian blood.
Look at the UFC.
One like that. They're starting to take over, man. The West Africans.
There's three African champions in the UFC.
Yeah, Usman.
Ngannou. Adesanya.
So, what
a crew.
The stock is coming up.
Telling you, man,
Actually, mad talking about that though. I was listening to an interview with GSP, there, fucking whatever he done a couple of days ago, and he's getting into the acting now. And it's like it kind of goes to tell you. So here's me thinking, I can't be an actor going to the fighting thing. But there's fighters getting into the acting, so you know.
Absolutely. That's the way it should be. There should be no boundaries. I feel in anything, especially in the creative fields. you know? No, don't put yourself in a box.
Yeah. Even though everyone tells you you should, like, the mental team's like, just pick one thing and stick at it.
Do you find that with between the music and the acting?
Yeah, a little bit, like, you know, but it's like, I've always had people kind of being like, kids, you know, I'm going to get to the stage, just pick one and stick at it, like, and it's always that kind of battle, but like you said, I always just find that it does cross over, like you were saying, like, you were into something, like, you came for music, like, didn't know that, so I think it's that kind of something to do with the mentality that comes, it's just striving for whatever the fuck you want to strive for. Yeah. Like,
it's filling your time with stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, obviously acting, you know, I'm assuming acting roles are few and far between, you know what I mean? Like, as in, you don't go from one project straight into another. There's time to fill, I suppose, is what I'm trying to...
Time, sometimes you get lucky.
Well, if you're high profile, year, like, your good self year. There, you know what I mean? How many movies you done now, mate?
Yeah. Trying to make it look easy, you know? But you're right, there's months when you're just like, I'm not doing anything, and everyone's like, oh, man, it's like, bro, I'm stressing. What do I do next?
How many movies have you actually done?
Counting Harry and Ambrose.
I'm literally number one on the list.
Number one. I think, geez, man, I think I'm coming up on five now.
Wow.
Five, yeah. And I'm doing about 5 years. One every year on average.
You're up there with, like, in terms of, like, those most recognised faces in terms of, like, Irish film.
Do you think?
Yes.
Honestly, do you think? Like,
I'm like watching you 5 years ago. I'm like, I want to be his mate. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like it's fucked up to hear that. Like, because I'm genuinely like I'm so. Like, haven't, man, it's like, say the hill is, like, say that's the hill, it's like, I'm fucking here, man, like, you know what I mean? So it's mad to hear that, like, because we're looking around at the people doing the shit, like Barry Cowan, even, like, you know, great inspiration for the lads, like, so... You know what I mean? Like, but it is, it's good inspiration to see that, but it is at the same time, it's like there's a long way to go, you know?
The thing about Barry is that the most important aspect of his success is showing people from any part of this country it is possible.
Fucking yeah.
Like, could you even imagine him being where he is now? Like, do you know what I mean? Pure skill, pure talent, pure belief in himself.
Work ethic as well, seems like, you know, absolutely that. And it's like you said, I'm sure if you told Barry himself 10 fucking whatever years ago, we always say that, and I always tell, it's always a bit of a paradox, because I'm like, oh, I'd never believe I was here 10 years ago, but I fucking wanted to be here 10 years ago, you know, like, so you're definitely trying to get there, but still, like everything, all the odds are against you, and you know, it's like you're coming from, especially in Ireland, it's like the working class, it's not really like, you know what I mean? It's not really seen as their kind of thing to do, you know? Seeing lads coming from them areas, especially Barry breaking the door down, like, you know, and like the background and stuff. And it does, it just shows you, man, if lads like that can do it, like, I can fucking do it. Like, anyone from Ballymun can do it, from Finglas can do it, wherever, like, you know? It's not just like, you didn't have to be born into this shit, like, you know? So it's good to see. Yeah.
But in speaking of Ballymun in particular, you know, Finglas, Cabra, all these sort of areas, they seem to fester this, like, rawness. Coolock as well. Must be Coolock. Darndale. Like, John's listening. Coolock or Darndale.
Don't
I'm trying to go around
that's
it.
That's its own category. Well, fact, man.
There is this, like, real rawness, real creativity that... is just can't be replicated. You have to be from these areas and you have to live it, experience it, and channel it through creativity.
And it's mad. I always ask, well, like, where does it come from? Like, you know what I mean? And why is that the case? Like, and I'm not trying to look like not getting into working class versus upper or whatever the fuck. Like, you what you are. But I do find it's like, we'd like to see when people tell stories that they know.
Yes.
But when you notice that, it's like when the lads are laughing. So, like, for the most part, when you see, like, Park Carbore gangsters, when you see, like, a big kind of thing getting done like that, it's very rarely the lads from them areas that are acting in it, like, you know? Yes. So there's this kind of, like, I don't know, it's like people, like look at these kind of stories and it's like, oh, it's exciting and it's this and it's that. And, like, so I was telling you a story about what I was, like, fucking, you know, growing up and, like... being like, you know, knowing what course you're going to do in college. Just tell me what it was like, knowing what, like, proper, stable, like, you know, financially secure. Like, tell that story if that's it. But, like, I don't know, people just, I don't know, it's like the most, it's like the interesting things is, like, when when it isn't about that, it's like what can you, it's like, oh, you're right, I had affairs in college, like, right, drama. You know what I'm saying?
But it's true, though, right?
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I got into Yale instead of Harvard.
I remember the year. It was so tough. Well, and, like, and not to say that people from upper class or middle class backgrounds don't struggle, but they have a
different struggle. And I'm like, I'd like to see that, like, you know what I'm saying?
I think with art, when you look at art, you're like, it's for me, that's what made Cardboard Gangsters so fantastic. Is it was actually like a documentary. As opposed to a movie.
Do you know
what I mean? Because it's that realness, that rawness.
You're in a state of mind, all right. Yeah.
And obviously, we keep referencing Cardboard Gangsters, but it was so culturally impactful as well.
Even to this day, man, like, this was laughing at one of the youth workers around me, and Sparky, always me up, shout outs to Sparky. He's like the youngsters are still like Cardboard Gangsters.
Yeah.
Not the young flower car. I feel like a lifetime is almost gone and that, but it just goes to show you how, like you said, how relevant it was to the culture. Like, and I think a lot of the lads, like you said, like people, they can watch that and it's not a watered down version of it. And it hits home for a lot of people, I think, you know, and that's why it's like the last.
Did you start getting recognised straight away as soon as I came out?
Before, Olivia.
I was rapping. So you had done a bit of rapping buzzing.
I was definitely, it was
it's a Fifth Element,
thing.
Right?
She knows. So we're going through some rebranding and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
We'll get on to that. But so look, it was all good. What was the last bit there, man?
Did you get recognised?
Yeah, definitely. It was different from, like, because you have your rap scene, you have your kind of music scene, but you're really, it went from being that very underground and people you run into on your nights out in town when you're being out, you mash. And then it's like more like, I'm having, you know, middle-aged family dude stopping me, like, you know. It's like, So in that sense, it definitely, like, you know.
How is that for you?
It's a weird one, man. Like, you know, like you're saying, it's like people that, like, do art and like that, I think they'll tell you a lie if they don't like a little bit of fucking, you know, a little bit of recognition. Like.
Yeah.
But there is a bit of a kind of thing where it's like, yeah, I don't know, Joey, I don't always know how to respond in that. Like, because sometimes you're just like, yeah, it's just like you said with your interviews. It's like, yeah, whatever, just, I've done that. But to other people, it's like, interviewed fucking Conlon, like,
Yeah.
And then you're like, it's not saying it wasn't, like, wow to you, but you're so in it, like, you're just, like, on it. So sometimes, like, it feels like, oh, we should have reacted more to that, or, like, you know what I mean, been a little bit more, like, cellmate or something, you know, like, so it's just...
That's so funny that you say that, because I actually... I won't say it's a complex. It's a thought that I've had as of late is I feel like I disappoint people when they meet me in real life.
Yeah.
Shane's like, what's this mad Shane? Bitch. I'd say Shane is like, she is going to have to go to a therapist, because every time I do this podcast, he's just like, what are you saying? But literally, like, when people watch me doing interviews and, like, I'm positive and I'm, like, high energy and I'm on it. And then sometimes if people meet me in a setting where I'm not working and I'm actually quite quiet. A lot of people don't think that, but I'm actually quite reserved and quiet.
And you kind of feel
like if you're not sparkling for them, that they're kind of like, oh, she's not as fucking sparkly as I thought she was, is she?
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Or I'm just not as they expected
the thing that
me
they
to
have
be.
And then you feel, it's like, oh, shit. Let that dude down.
But you can't fucking start dancing for people. Do you know what I mean? Then you're just like, what are you then?
That's it. It's like you said, you're not working. It's like, man, you don't want to be working all the time. But it's gas that you say it. I was just trying to think of it myself and put it into, like, you know, that's it, isn't it?
It's
like, I was expecting you to be the fucking Kobe out of Cardboard. It's like, man, you're not always fucking, like, not always mad skaggy. Come on. Like, they're like, all right.
But it's a strange world, like that world of you know, the creativity of acting and film. And then we obviously have this whole other part of, like, celebrity and, like, you know, social media and all these things that can have negative connotations if you know, in certain circumstances. So it's a wild one, isn't it?
Yeah, if not kind of handled properly. And you know, exactly. My thing going out for myself is like, you kind of don't know what's happening. So I'm still the same fucking, you know, lad that was doing like Hardy and Ambrose, like, yes. And then just other gigs. You know what I mean? Still in my bedroom, like, and rapping, like, yeah, fucking, you know, in the dirt and all, like, but it's, like, it's mad that all this shit is happening now. So that's what one of my mates said it to me. I hadn't met up in a while, you know, I had the old reunion there.
Yeah.
So he was laughing. It's like, I know it's mad, like, because, like, you're on the inside, but he's like, it's like, for us, the lads on the outside, the mates, it's like, I kind of seeing you.
Yeah,
This fucking whatever, like, Z-list celebrity, like, you know, and you don't always notice that yourself, like, you know, and then sometimes you do, you're like you said, you're like, all right, shit, how do you handle that, you know, and I think from what you're saying is just be your fucking self.
Exactly, be yourself, and it took me a long time to get to that, and it doesn't mean that I've
mastered it
anyway, you know, I'll still be like, oh god, and especially the gym, you know what I mean, like a gym is a place where like people send their kids up to me and stuff like that, you know, like not the kids I train with, they'll be listening to this and be like, but we love you, but you know what I mean, like someone picking up like someone and their kids are in the car, you know, some fella made his kids jump out one time with the car, get a picture with her, go on, get the phone. I was only out with the gym, like, I'm starting to get the head kicked off me, you know, the sweat rolling off me. I was like, oh, where is this going to end
have
up
to
now?
Pull this out of the well now, like, you know. Nothing in the cup, sorry,
I'm leaving the gym fuming because I'm like, after getting the head poked off me and I'm after having a shit training session, you know what I mean? But it's good,
isn't it? It's like you said, it's one of them good problems, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
like,
definitely, so 100%. Yeah.
Would you compete again? Are you done with that? Or?
I'm definitely not. I'll definitely go back to jiu-jitsu at some point. I definitely miss it now because it's been taken away from me. You know, we can't compete.
When you miss it, when you don't have the option.
Can't do something,
like,
100%. Yeah. I always toy with the idea of taking a Muay Thai fight or an MMA fight. But again, it's the luxury of that time of being able to commit. If I do anything, I want to be able to commit to it.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
And
I'm
36. Yeah. And I'm like, time is an illusion. Age is an illusion.
That's it.
We can do anything we want.
Time. Still got time.
You know what I mean?
Time,
so
know?
Like,
yeah,
and
yeah, that's must be the lifestyle works for you anyway. Yeah,
that's how arrogant I am. Is it?
Water,
I'm arrogant because I'm like, you know what? I'll take anyone. I'll get anyone until you're like, you're in there.
You need to have a force going in, don't you?
Yeah, but it's funny. I take that mentality into other areas of my life.
I
view the world as a fire. You know what I mean? And the way that I trained for like fight camps for jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, like I still look at work and the world like that. Do you know what I mean? And
In the sense that it's like anything, like you can go stagnant with it, like, is it like that? Like, if you don't, like, so again, if you don't like practice your interview skill, but you know what I mean?
Ring
rust, basically, like, it's like the ring rust will set
in, and that's the big
thing with fighting. I don't know, people say timeout doesn't do, but no, I watch fighters coming back, and more than not, I think ring rust is an actual thing.
Definitely is a thing, 100%. Ring rust from like this. Many different facets to it. It's mental, it's physical, it's the sort of just the energy of like, I haven't done this for a while, and you kind of feel like it's new again. But I actually, our mate Dennis,
our mutual
friend, we were talking about it in the gym because we do jiu-jitsu together, obviously.
He's an
elite athlete. I still have a letter for to be an elite athlete so I get away with training because I am going to fight.
You're official. Certified over here.
But we were talking during the week, and I trained jiu-jitsu with him because obviously he's high level jiu-jitsu, and he's obviously able to smoke me, right? He'll be delighted now that I've said this actually on air, but he smokes me every time.
What belt?
He's still a blue belt. Okay, so we're both still blue belts.
There's a little bit of it. Well, he's
a man, and he's bigger than me, and he's taller than me.
Dennis is like tall as fuck.
Yeah, he's like 6'1" or something. The other day I got really upset, but I was really annoyed.
Up in his grill.
And he was like, Lydia, like, of course I'm going to beat you. I haven't stopped training. You're only back after, like, what, 9 months on the couch?
Yeah.
So stuff like that, you know. Yeah. So I would want to commit to it if I was going to go back.
not half kind of like, it's like that thing, it's like, would have found a knife even, just, you know, it's like, you can apply it, it's like, if you try pleasing everyone, you end up letting them all down, and it's that kind of thing, even in your endeavours, you know, it's like, you can't 100% two things, you just, you can't.
I would be guilty of that, spreading myself too thin,
absolutely, yeah, same actually, like, and that's what I've been kind of trying to do, it's like, so when I'm knocking people saying, telling you to do one thing, I know there is an element to it, so, but I'm like, it could be two or three things, you know, that way, and then really like kind of making sure that they're balancing. So like now I'm finding the music is coming, just I don't know, it's just like saying I ended up being up till 4 o'clock yesterday because just boom,
that is not good for your circadian rhythm, young man.
My whatever rhythm is a long time, man. Help me get it back, did you?
Bed at 10 o'clock. That's how you get it back.
Do hear you're more productive that way, but it's like something just clicks off at that thing, and yeah, really, I find these things will call you when it's time, like, you know. So maybe you know, you'll get the itch to be like, yeah, I need to go pretzel some motherfuckers.
But in terms then of the music and the kind of the creativity behind that, where, like, because when Little Dialect was in, when Paulie was in, you know, I was so fascinated into, like, how did it start?
Yeah.
What was the first step? Like, how did you go from, you know, just in your local area? And for him, it was youth centres. You know what I mean? That was same thing of being encouraged, or that one person who sort of like said, here, try this. And I think he was saying he was given like a little tape recorder or something. Was it the same place? Was it the... It wouldn't have been Axis and Ballymore, no.
So Paulie's Blanche more so, well, Cabaret and Blanche. But the youth centre, I think, would have been... I can't think of the name of it. It was there once or twice, you know, in the crossovers. But so that's it. Like, that's where he got into the music and that, I think, the lads around there. But... for me, it was a weird one because definitely the youth clubs had a huge part. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't not give that the credit, but I think I would have done it either way. Do you get me? Like, you know? And that was to deal with, as I said, my older brothers and, like, they're friendly. Just going to fucking shout, world-class record, so lunatic for real. And a lot of these lads, like, you know, the OGs. I just grew up around them, and that's it. So I wasn't even, like, you know, like, I was always hearing Irish hip-hop more than I would American, like, rap, just from by default, you know? Yeah. And then, but it was around the time seeing Costello and Paulie and all the lads getting into it, where, and I was obviously getting a little bit older, like, and then it was like, I'm listening to this shit more than I listen to American or English rap. And, like, you know, it's like anything else. It's like, you know, you're rapping along to that Tupac song, for example. It's like, well, you didn't just do it yourself, you know? So, but that's it. Like, so it was a slow start, you know, ABCs and...
Yeah, can you remember the first piece you wrote?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. It's called, like, milk and cookies or something like
Yo!
That. Cookies and milk, we flipped it around, But I ain't as sweet as it sounds, Don't get me to do that one.
Oh, listen, you're going to do a bit, you know,
Do something. That's it, man, you know. So just being around lads so I really do believe in being like, you know, you're kind of you know, the people around you inspire you, like, you know what I mean, and rub off on you and stuff. So I just think that was a huge part of it. It's like, you know, your formative years and that was the buzz, and it was like there's this buzz happening, like, now at the minute, and, like, it was deadly, like, you know, LD51's only talking to Paulie today, to be honest. Like, you know, he has a new album coming out, and I'm like, it's about time.
He's doing this album for a couple of years.
Sweet to God, bro. That's what I was saying. Like, I was not pleading. I was like, look, there's just false retirements now. Get this one out, man. You know, but it's
actually,
good.
I have this hoodie in my bag. I was wearing it earlier on.
Represent. I must
repping,
get one as
repping,
well.
Yeah.
So deadly, man. So look, man, I've just been around these lads and that, like, a long time now, like, you know, and I just think I was always, I know it sounds a bit fucking pretentious, but I was always meant to fucking, you know, it's meant to entertain, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what is your understanding or your belief in, like, where you sit in the world? Yeah. You know, do you believe that you're here for a purpose, that it was to be creative, to use your voice, to use, you know, to channel this creativity?
Yeah.
What's your understanding of what's going on?
So it's changing every day, to be honest
with
you.
That means you're living.
Really living. I was gonna say growing, but
growing, living, learning.
Sometimes you go the opposite of grow, but then you come back twice as strong, like, you know. But yeah, so it changes all the time, man. Well, guess where I'm at now? It's kind of that. It's that kind of buzz where, yeah, right, it's like recognizing, like, it's like, you know, I do think people have purposes and people have things they're meant to do. I believe anyone can do anything they want to do, but not everyone wants to do everything, you know? Yeah. So it's finding that thing that you do want to do, like. And I've just been real with myself, and I've been kind of like, I do, man. And so a lot of it is you're trying to fight yourself. It's like, oh, I don't want to seem like I'm old, cocky, or, you know, you have to get past that at a certain point. It's like, no, man, I do. When I'm doing these films and shit, like, I do feel like there's something that I'm like, ah, but it's just, you know what I mean? I felt like there was a universal box just gets ticked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, mate. Because you're following your purpose, you're following your truth.
Yeah.
You're standing in your honesty of, like, who you are and what you feel like you're here to do.
That's it. And when you don't do that, you feel the opposite. You feel shite, and then you're like, why do I feel so shit, man?
And how many people out there can resonate with that, of like sitting in an office or a job that they absolutely hate, and they're like a budding artist or musician or gardener or bleeding, whatever,
man. That's what I'm
just
saying. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Master that bonsai tree, man. Yeah, water them plants. Yeah, facts. Well, absolutely.
Well, it is, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and it's like, it goes back to that whole thing of like, you know, what are we here for? What do you want out of life? Because if you think that working in a job that no one gives a shit really about you being there, that you don't care about for money to be able to buy this, that, material goods, you think that the end of this, that like that is what will fulfill you and make you happy, I'd rather be broke every day and do something that I love than have to sit in a job like that.
I always say that, eating you alive,
you know,
from the soul and the inside out.
Yeah,
I always say I'd like to get the fine line of a balance, just enjoy it for a bit, and just before it breaks our soul, and then we know it's like, so I can enjoy being broke now.
Absolutely,
I would, man. It's like that thing. It's like, you know, yeah, you'd rather like. You'd rather die poor and happy than rich and fucking, you know, like depressed and decrepit.
And I don't actually think if you do follow your passion, I don't think that you will be broke.
No, man, and that's what I'm just noticing. It's like if you do that shit, man, it comes, like, you know, and it's just about doing, like you said, finding that thing, and then just if you're that passionate about something, your brains, you're going to figure out the way to live off it, because you have to, man, you know, and I think that's, and look, I know everyone's circumstances are different than that, like, but just going from what you're saying about recognizing that kind of thing, recognizing what your spark is, and fucking just keep fanning the flames of it, like, you know, and man, it takes hits, like, there's a couple of years there, like, fucking, dude, I took a step back, and like, I don't know if this acting shit's for me, and, you know, and like, the same, it's like, ready to do, just, you know, convincing yourself, this is enlightenment.
Yes.
I'm happy working at a till forever, you know, that's all I mean, but just being honest with myself, it doesn't
Would you like a plastic bag with that?
Doesn't get me going, you know?
Yeah,
it doesn't do it for me, and that's
kind
of it, like, and just being honest, it's like, we need to fucking, and so just what you're saying about giving it 100. So that's where I'm at lately now, kind of gone from kind of like, I'm half doing, and like, maybe it's this for me, and like, I go with it and that, and I'm like, nah, man, I think I'm ready to kind of, to go all in, and, you know, so see how that goes, man.
What is the in?
Yeah. So maybe, Jerome, talk a lot about this, maybe having to, you know, maybe having to jump on a plane for a little while, you know.
And, well, you know. This is brilliant that you brought this up, because I was going to ask you that, about, you know, like, leaving the hood.
Getting out, man, you know. Yeah, that's it. And I do think, and I've just been, like, you know, thinking of that a lot lately, and I do think, yeah, man, I gotta get the fuck out the hood for a while, at least, you know. So, like, what's it, the hero's drawing you, gotta go with something good to bring back, you know,
that kind of thing, because
I feel like you do, and we always say that phrase, I was thinking, oh, that's just me sitting the fucking pop out with my head wrecked all the time, and da da da. But then, so you go and think and say, wherever, say you end up in fucking London or wherever, Canada, and you're doing, I'm sure there's people that are in them areas that are the exact same, that like, grew up there the whole life, that just need, and I think that's, like you said, it's that getting out of your comfort zone thing as well, like, 100%. You know, just that. You know, just being out of your comfort zone is going to force you to fucking to sink or swim, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And the more that we get out of our comfort zone, the more we realise how much we can accomplish.
Yeah,
because very rare that you'll find discomfort in the uncomfort. You know, it's always going to eventually be comfortable as well.
What do you mean? Like when you get through it, like, kind of,
so like people think that like, oh, going into the unknown, going into that uncomfortable space, that like it's going to be permanent discomfort.
Yes.
It is going to be uncomfortable.
But then
you will become accustomed.
And you will
thrive in the comfort.
And then you'll
look back and you go, God, if I hadn't have taken X, Y, Z or that leap or that jump, I would be still in the same place. I could have veered another direction, but it could be to, you know, parallel direction as opposed to going up the hill.
Could have went around it. More experience, man.
More life, more experience. That's it.
And do you think it just comes down to that? So again, just that's where I think I'm kind of at, like, because, you know, you're like, he's a bab at 26.
When I look back at 26, man, what? I was like, I was in the height of like, oh, Jesus. I was just like, I did not know my arse from my elbow.
Would you bring you back to that place? PTSD there.
Like literally PTSD. Yeah. But it, you know, I feel very blessed that like I'm quite youthful.
Yeah.
And
vibrant and shit, you know.
Yeah. And I love
vigor.
Life.
Yeah.
Love it. And I now have this beauty of like the wisdom of being 36. But the vitality of like, you know, 24, motherfucker!
Say it is, yeah. Sam, she's like boxes ticked all around here, yeah. Give me the secret, will you? Yeah. Jedi mode.
It's like, I literally, it was a thing of like, you know, I've always gone... away from the, I've always been the black sheep in everything that I've done. And so when all my friends were like, you know, 30, 31, 32, getting married, having kids, getting promoted,
mortgages.
You know, like starting this business and that. I was like literally in Mayo, like covering a bleeding amateur K1 show. Do you know what I mean? For like 50 quid or something. Do you know what I mean? Barely able to pay my rent. I was like, I'm just loving life. And I was getting those moments of like, okay, it's time to grow up now because you spent 10 years in music, you had a buzz, but you got shafted by like management and this and by that. And like, what had you then at the end of 10 years? Like, what's happening?
I thought
I was failing and failing and failing. And I was like, right, you need to just get on the like the corporate wheel and like just work your bollocks off and blah, blah. And so I had a 6-month period where I'd done and I just knew instantly. And now, like, yes, I have friends. They are all very happy, but they look at me with like, jealousy is probably the wrong word because they love me. It's not jealousy.
It's a little jealousy where they're like envy.
That's it. Like, fuck, look at you being able to just go wherever,
do whatever.
Yeah. And now the fruits of the last 6-7 years are coming together
them
for you.
Seeds are fucking, you know,
she's
harvesting. Like,
this is it. And trust me, a lot. There's times where I've been crying with really good friends at their kitchen table with a bleeding glass of wine, being like, what's going on? And they're like, you're never going to make it in this combat sports world or this like fighting world. There's no money to be made in
you
it.
You need to come and learn how to use these thousand people properly.
Do you know what I mean? And if I had any less of 100% confidence in myself, God knows where I could
be
now.
You would have listened and fucking...
You know, I did listen.
Yeah, I do listen.
It,
like,
but you listen and you sit at home and you meditate on it and you go, no, I know myself and I know what I'm worth and I know that I can make this work.
Yeah, that's a great point, like you said, is to not just dismiss it either way. Because like, I got into that as well, but you're kind of, fuck it, I don't know.
Yeah, but then there's
both sides of it as well. Like, you know, it's like, all right, and especially if you know it's from a good place, because I'm sure a lot of people that just... don't want you to deal and deal. Just tell you, but you know, people that do want better for you, but they're just genuinely like, man, I think this art thing mightn't be it. Like, so they're already telling you for a reason, but then you do. You gotta roll your own dice at a certain point as well. Like, you know, and I'm like, I'd rather take the fucking gamble and see how it goes. You know,
absolutely same with me. Has there been anyone who's been like real influential in your life?
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. just on the Star Wars team there for Anthony, so I guess, yeah.
Luke Skywalker.
Nah, not Luke, Jesus, man, yeah, look how Anakin, yeah. You done the whole full, went to the dark side and back, you know.
Yeah, but, true enlightenment, there's true enlightenment. Enlightenment. Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Went through the fire and came
Did
out the other
just
side.
Just tell me it's this, but I found my own way, but nah, man, I do, no, a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of the lads that are fucking, you know, shouting out John, Paulie, you know, Dan, huge influence, lunatic, you know, and then, yeah, man, just fucking, like, you know, the craft itself is a huge one to me, like, you know, so I just love everything about film, like, as myself, like, so I'm only getting into, like, fucking, if we can, like, if I have the time or the day, like, I'll watch fucking five films in a row if I can that day, you know.
What is it, like, if you look back on, like, film in particular, can you pinpoint it to a point in your life, like, when you were a child or young? You know, did you watch movies back then? Yeah. Was it in your family? Like, where did this sort of love for it come from?
So it was definitely that, man. It's definitely, like, so it'd be obviously, it's gas when I think. Remember more the 90s than I probably should, to be honest, like, you know. So you can remember Mars Attacks and John getting all of these fucking films and the shit that was, like, massive at the time. And that's it. It was just bet into film, man. My dad was a huge part of it, obviously, like, so I would have grown up on them. Monty Python, and you know what I mean?
Classics.
So, again, probably shouldn't. So I was watching Life of Brian when I was four.
He's a
five,
very
like,
naughty boy.
Don't do it again. But yeah. Grew up in all of that, like, from a real young age, like, and just, man, like, I was even only laughing, like, laughing the other day. I was watching Terminator 1. So it was like, I'd seen this way too fucking young, but it stuck with me, man. And just, so I've always loved it. And me and the bro were only laughing. We had one of the neighbours that lived in the court at the time. He was, like, the only person in the area that had fucking satellite dish, now Sky. So he was able to get the kind of the films that were out. And he'd always, like, record them on the VCR. He'd just fling it across the road when he was done. Like, you know,
fair,
like,
play to him.
I was, man, like, I'd watched The Mask way too many times growing up. Yeah. Watched fucking The Aliens, The Predators too much. Mm. So it definitely started from just, I think, being a... thinking it was real.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh shit, we live to the year 3000 and all that, you know.
What's your most proudest project that you've done? What's the one that you're most like, you know what, I'm really proud of this?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Need the directors listening, yeah. I love yous all the same. No, man, they're all great, and I've been lucky to have them be all different. Same as in, you know, it's a working class, like, you know, typecasting a little bit, but each role has been different, and I've been lucky to have that. But look, if I'm going to go off on a limb and just say it, is Kiss and Candace, film we done a few years ago called Kiss and Candace, and that was just,
Is that Aoife McArdle?
So that's Aoife McArdle's directional debut. And it was just fucking, man, it was just great,
incredible.
Man.
Yeah, it was great. Good casting that as well.
All the boys, all the lads, and man, just like learning so much from that. Shout out to Conal Keaton and fucking Tony Doyle. Just the deadly buzz all together. And like that, I was still fairly new at the acting. So kind of coming in and like getting a gig that was that, I guess, you know, full on.
Mm.
Was kind of in the deep end, but at the same time, I learned so much from it. Like, and watching the other lads, like, man. Like, watch that film again. Like, just take me out of it.
No, you know yourself,
but you're to do that shit. But like that, watching the other lads, I'm like, man, it's like the boys are so fucking deadly at it. And just like you said, it made me step my game up being on set. Mm. So anything going from that since, I think I've tried to just be like, man, like, you're fucking game time if you're here, you know. So.
What your folks think after they saw that? I assume they watched the Kiss and Candice. Because that was kind of your biggest role, right?
I think so, man. What's
your folks think?
Of it? Yeah, I don't know. Same, like, my mom was like, fucking, you know, same. Like, she was like, dad didn't get to see it, you know, unfortunately, you'll drop it in there.
Oh, your dad's passed. I'm so sorry.
Like you said, you use it for the juice, don't you? Yeah. Like, you know? It's the epoxy thing. It was literally like the year all the films started coming out, like, you know?
So it's just recently?
A few years ago. It's long enough now, man, you know? But it's like, it's one of them that's like, oh, tell them, it's like, oh, we've done this film. And, like, you know, you're waiting for the edit to come out.
Yeah.
It's like literally the year the films are ready to release out. He's like, gone for a sleep.
Oh, mate.
Well, it's good, man. So, but the man loved it. You know, he would have loved it.
Yeah, of course.
The brothers loved it. And then same with the mates. They were literally like, they'd be honest. They'd be like, man, wasn't him adding to the other ones, but this is fucking... This is
nothing cool. Like a mate to tell you how it is, right?
The man, to be brutally honest with you, you know, and they were like, so man, I think everyone that we've talked to thinks that that's my best one, you know, and I still look at it going, fuck, could have, you know, yourself, you know.
Do you find it hard to look at stuff that your own work?
We've watched Broken Law once.
That was another great movie as well.
Sound like so.
The big Netflix, like, and obviously Cardboard Gangsters on Netflix as well.
Michael and Sy's on Netflix,
That's it, Michael and Sy, great movie as well. Over.
That's sorry, man, so it's hard to pick, to be honest, because Michael and Sy, so I'm saying Kissing Candles because it was fucking one of the leads in it.
Yeah.
Michael and Sy, they've done a few scenes, but man, them few scenes are just like, that was fucking deadly. That was like getting, man, just the whole experience of making that. And Frank Berry, the director, he's just, man, it's like very Ken Loachy kind of, just, you know, very, he done his research making that film, you know, it wasn't just a case of trying to like cash in on that. And he made it from a real place. And so they're hard to pick, Lydia, hard to pick.
What is the one or the kind of the one thing I suppose that you look for when you're accepting a script or that you're taking on a project? What does it need to say, or how do you need to feel when you look over it?
Just that it's not me, you know what I mean? Like, and I know a lot of people say, like, that's what it'd be gas, because a lot of people like, you're just like the same as Cardboard Gangsters, you get his accent, and then they hang out with me for a day or two, and they're kind of, wait, like you said, do the dance yet, will you? So at least...
That fucking dance isn't coming.
It's not coming, mate, fuck off, like, you know, it's like, but that's it, so just that they're not me that we get to be, and... It's a weird, I'm still trying to answer this to myself. Why do you act like? Why do you act?
Is it escapism a little bit?
Do you know what? I think it is. Why else would you want to fucking, you know? But there's something happens, like something cathartic. I don't know, man. I just feel like I get some sort of fucking release or a cleanse when I'm doing it, so, you know? And it is, like, so that's what I say. It's like I'm playing pretending to be someone else at the end of the day, but... I don't know, within that, like, if you really can get into it, like, there's something happens, man. Sure, it's the same if you're in a fight and you hit flow state.
Yeah.
And you're not even thinking, you're just fucking, you're just being, you know, just being the thing, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When you look at, it's a bit of a morbid question, but when you look at, you know, we'll say, you're on your deathbed, you're looking back at your life.
Whoa.
I swear to God, I'm not even joking. One of my friends actually said that this is when she's having a bad day or a bad week.
Yeah.
She's like, what I do is I imagine myself on my deathbed at 89 and like, what would I say to myself about this bad day that I'm having? Like, you're probably not even going to remember it. But when you look back at that sort of like, you know, end of your days, like, how would you want to be remembered?
I know this sounds again tense as fuck. I don't even know if I want to be remembered.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you're going to think about it. Look, I've been getting deep because I start getting into this. Like, in 1,000 years' time, all these buildings are going to turn to sand. Anyway, who the fuck's going to remember anything? But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but no, guess what do I want people to remember of me? I don't know. Like, it's a weird question, like, to really kind of answer. What do you want people to remember? So I don't want them to remember, like, me and Ryan at that, but if they got inspiration from me or something, I'd want them to remember that. You get me? Like, so, like, if some
is that important to you, that someone would see what something you've done and take creativity from it, inspiration.
So I guess that's the best way of answering it, is kind of definitely believing and like kind of passing the torch on or whatever. I was inspired by others, so I definitely want fucking, there's other lads now in Ballymun that are coming up and they're like, oh, how do we get into the films and da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, if that's the start of maybe, you know, what's the standing on the shoulders of fucking Giants and all that. So,
iconic Oasis album as well for Oasis fans out there.
Shout it out. Swear, it's been one of them years, hasn't it?
Actually, music inspirations.
Finishing up.
Who gives a shout? Who inspired Ryan Lincoln?
The top man. I'm gonna go with Nas. Nasty Nas, man.
King.
King. Do you know what, man? Someone gave me Plan B's latest album, Heaven Before All Hell Breaks Loose.
Yeah,
fucking unreal, man. It's tops. That's tops. I love me drum and bass and me jungle and shit like that, man, as well. So I'm not always... not always straight lyricism. Like, I like those lyricism.
Can't get behind you on that one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Drum and bass, hardcore.
Yeah, it gets in there. It gets in there as well. Like, so I was inspired by it all and the music taste, but mainly it's the hip hop, man. Love fucking Nas. Love the Irish hip hop lads. And
do you think Irish hip hop gets enough credit?
No. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would have only been aware of the bigger names, we'll say, you know, throughout the years. And then when I started, like, looking into, like, Lethal Dialect, Costello, Working Class Records, Sons Phonetic, All the Boys, you know what I mean? Yeah, and you start looking at it and you start seeing the talent and the skill and the lyricism and, like, the creativity, not only in the music but in the entire art that they're putting out, whether it be graffiti or videos. And it's like, man, it's still happening, that all this creativity is in Ireland and it's not being properly hoisted.
And look, man, I just say, if, like, if half of these lads are born somewhere else, say you are born in London or wherever, or wherever it was popping, they'd be at the top of the game there, like, so... Yeah,
or if they all upped and left. If they upped and left, you see then Ireland is like, boom, tricolour out.
They'd be, man, I swear to God, they'd be like, so, man, I don't know, you're right there. Like, it's like everything that needs to be there, like the talent, the work, it's all there. Like, so the reason, I don't know, man, like, so it's gas. Like, I started getting into the hip-hop scene and, like, SNLD, and that was dropping their first albums in the 2000 and fucking early 2010s. Like, I remember then, I was like, lads, it's coming, it's gonna, you know, people are getting, like, been saying that 10 years now, and it is. I don't know, man, I don't know what, like, the kind of, it's like people get behind it for a little while. It's like the magazines will kind of get behind, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's great shout outs to District Magazine and Hot Press and all, but you know what I mean? There'll be a little bit of a mainstream media buzz for a little, and then, but there's not really. I don't know, it's like whoever runs our music industries, like, they don't take the chance to, like, really give a scene what it needs to become an actual, you know what I'm saying, thriving scene where people fucking make a living off it, and they, you know, they will don't have to fucking go and find something else to do, like, but I don't know, you can help me figure that out, Lydia, what is it?
I don't have the answers. Yeah, I mean, I wish I did, and I've come from the industry, do you know what I mean? Like, I've come from nearly 10 years in music, but, like, for me, it's funding, know what I mean?
Okay,
but then, and then I had this mad idea, right, where I was like, dole for musicians, right? Because when I started, I was on the dole, and I was like, going in, I'm looking for work, I was touring Japan, do you know what I mean?
Gig and work bands every weekend.
Like, the 190 or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm playing the Workman's for bleeding a bottle of vodka and something else.
Man, the amount of exposure I've been paying in, fuck's sake.
I'm exposed. I need no more.
That's it, boys. I walk the dogs enough fucking times.
But you know what I mean? And when you start out, it is like that, totally. I was like, you know, a dole for musicians that allow them, and there's some kind of thing where they have to say, right, I'm working on this project, and that's your kind of proof that you're working, you know what I mean? So you're not just shouting about doing nothing, like, or whatever. But then I was like, does that take away then from the, like, you know, the creativity, the drive, the passion?
You know,
it's part of the creative output of all these artists, the fact that they might have to go do a 10-hour shift in Tesco, and then they go home and they smoke spliff or whatever, and they write, like, the sickest rhyme, like, about getting out of wherever because they've experienced it all day. Do you know what I mean?
Coming from the fight game, what, as everyone's been quoting the Marvin Hagler one recently, haven't they? It's like the silk sheets one.
That's exactly it. Do you know what I mean? And that's when we look at, like, Connor, we look at, like, you know, Annie, coming from Connor, you know, and what he's achieved and the money he's made. How mental does he have to be to still want to get punched and kneed into the head?
To get a dig into the mouth when you have that,
a billion euro in your bank account. Do you know what I mean? You can only be passionate about something to do that.
Literally, like, because everyone will tell you, and that's what it comes back to, like, saying, finding the spark, and the money comes with it then. Yes. And that's the thing then, so it just feeds into itself, because we find if you don't... If he didn't do that, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he didn't make that money, like, he'd be just kind of... Mm-hmm. you know what I mean? He'd be probably doing something else and it'd be killing the soul, you know, he has the money, but it seems to be that he can't do anything else because he needs to do that.
And he's so passionate and so obsessed, he can't quit.
You know what I'm saying?
He can't, because who is he if he's not Conor McGregor,
the
fighter?
And what made you, like, if you're not the fighter and if someone, exactly. whatever your thing is... So it is. It's a bit of a double fucking, you know,
double edged sword,
like, you know.
Funding, I think funding is the big one, like funding as well. Money for like rehearsal spaces, recording studio, like venues.
Yeah,
venues
yeah,
is the big
yeah,
one. Putting yeah, on yeah, the gigs, yeah. but not being being able to have a venue that you can. You'd be able to charge people in.
It's the spot, like, that's the spot.
We're going to play here Thursday night, there's no door fee, cheap gargoyle, come on in.
That's the buzz, like, here's, if you want to come for your hip-hop shit, that's the same.
But this thing of, like, having to rent a venue and pay €400-600 for it, and then you have to charge €15-20 on the door just to break even.
There, man, I've done it for years.
Yes, it doesn't work. You're sweating. I remember I used to sit in the wings, and I used to be head counting. 1, 2, 3, right, €100, €200, €300, and then I was like, we break even. I'm like, oh, fuck, we like, relax, right, come out, on, have a few drinks.
Point now, like,
exactly,
like, no, but,
you know?
Yeah, but it's like that, you look at other countries that have, I guess, had that, and it comes down to fun, and just having a buzz, and it, like, you know, somewhere to let it ferment and let it fucking happen, like, and it's gas. It's like, people, you know, going, it's like, oh, everything closing down, you know, the lockdown's like, man, I was like, Dublin was on the fucking way out before the lockdown, buddy. Jesus Christ, man, like, you know. So I think that's a big part of it. The town itself needs to have a buzz, and like, Dublin just, like, man, it's been slowly been closing down the last, like, since 2012 or whatever, like, so we think that's a big part of it, is getting venues back.
But now that we're getting back open and things are slowly moving back to a bit of north, it'll breed new opportunities for new venues, new creativity, new artists to come true.
Hopefully, man. Not even as a participant, I just want to have a fucking good night out.
Yeah,
like,
I'm telling you, we're all dying for a night out.
Itching for one.
Well, listen, before we go very quickly, will you spit a few bars?
Jesus.
Yep.
Jesus. Right, we'll go into one.
Right, go on.
Cocky shit. Acting as if you have though, don't in fact it's little fact that you know. Happens to dopes, back with your flow. Amateur shows, your aperture's closed, no light let in, low boy, yeah, so out in the cold, always out of focus. Folk like me staying vocal to vocals. Vocals are closed, yeah, out in the open, hoping it's local to blow it out, hoaxing, taking over the coaster, no shit, coasting across the atmosphere, floating in motion. Gotta catch it there. Lost a lot of last of tears, token toast to the dearest, hoping they hear it, staying the hero, under the hero.
Yeah!
A bit rusty.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much. Love it.
Shane.
Great. Ryan, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Like, so good. I'm so glad I finally got to meet you, and like, great chat.
Hopefully it's not the last time.
No, not at all. Your post-fight interview when you're after your first fight, your pro debut.
There you go. That's be back with me blue belt, about 10 years.
Good stuff. But anything coming up that people can watch out for, or music-wise, where can they annoy you on social media?
Yeah, where can they buzz me? So I'm just on Instagram at the minute. Just Ryan Lincoln on Instagram, Ryan Lincoln 1, you'll find me on that. And I'm kind of just tying it all in. The music is coming back. I hate saying any dates and this and that, but I think there's an album coming in the works. But
good stuff.
Main thing is, just finished the series, so looking forward to that coming out. It's called Kin. That's going to be around... set in Dublin, crime drama, surprise.
Amazing.
So I'm gonna be in that, have a nice bit to do there, and I think that's coming out next few months.
Virgin Media?
So it's gonna be RTE, and it's been picked up by AMC in the States.
Wow.
So it's gonna be doing the rounds in the States. So hopefully it goes good. There's a great
get that
cast.
Kickback coming through.
You know what I'm saying, dog? Like you said, enough exposure. So I've been picked up by a couple of shit distributions, and that's it, man. You know, just keep it going, keep an eye out for it, and hope you like it.
Sweet. Thank you very much, Ryan Lincoln, for the First Exchange podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.